Today's shiur is Masechta Sotah on Daf Yud. We will begin on the last line of Daf Tesam Beis, where the Gemara quotes the pasuk in Shoftim concerning Shimshon, "V'hu yachel lohishia es Yisrael." Before we begin, I just feel it's appropriate to mention that in order to understand the entire inyan of Shimshon, one should read the book put out by Rav Gershon Weishlita, the Mashgich of the Yeshiva of Staten Island, of Masifta Tveres Yerushalayim. And he was assisted by Rav Aryeh Kaplan, Zecher Tzadik Levracha. And if one reads that, you begin to understand what a Mesiris Nefesh Shimshon did for Klal Yisrael. One of the main psukim, I learned this from Rav Gershon Weiss 40 years ago in Yeshivas Neri Yisrael in Baltimore, when he gave shiurim on Shimshon. One of the main psukim is the pasuk that our Gemara today begins with, "V'hu yachel lo yishies Yisrael." The Malach told the mother of Shimshon that her son would begin to be Mashiach Yisrael. And as we learned in yesterday's shiur, that Shimshon is merumes in the bracha that Yaakov gave to Dun, Yehi Dun Nachash Alei Derech, Shefifon Alei Arech. That Shimshon was like a snake that is on the way, and he's slithering around on the way. The mashal of Shimshon to a snake is just like a snake camouflages in the terrain, so too Shimshon would act as if he had left Klal Yisrael, because v'hu yachel loishias Yisrael. Klal Yisrael at that time was not on the level, on the madrega, to be zocha, to wage a open warfare against the Plishtim and defeat them in battle. But what Hashem did grant Klal Yisrael is v'hu yachel. He will begin to save Klal Yisrael. But how does Shimshon begin to save Klal Yisrael without Klal Yisrael getting retribution from the Plishtim? If it's not going to be an open warfare between two armies, because there Klal Yisrael would have been defeated. So the only way that Shimshon could do it was like a snake. He did guerrilla warfare surreptitiously, and he acted as just like a snake camouflages itself until it appears to be part of the terrain, so too Shimshon acted as if he was a Plishti. And therefore, he acted like he was a Meshug in the Plishti. If you got him angry, as we're going to learn in the Gemara today, he would pick up the gates of the city and walk off with them on his shoulders. He was not someone that you would mess around with. And if you wanted to take retribution against him, don't go to his family or his people, because they've disowned him. He is not one of them. That was how Shimshon was Moiser Nefesh, to act as if he was no longer a Yisraeli, and by taking Plishti women, this is part of his subterfuge. That is the one. This pasuk is one of the basic psukim in understanding Shimshon's role. But our Gemara is going to learn the word of Yachel totally different. V'hu Yachel lahishias Yisrael. Amar Rabbi Chanina, as we turn to Daf Yud Amud Aleph, Hu Chal Shvuasoi Shel Avi Melech. The word Yachel is not he will start, but as Rashi says, Betela, it is butel, as we have in the pasuk concerning the dorm, lo yachel dvori. He should not desecrate his word. He should not make his word destroyed. So here the pasuk was saying, do you know why Shimshon is able to fight against the Plishtim, even though there was a shvua between Avimelech and Avram, as the Chsiv, the pasuk says, "Into shakar liel and nini lenechti," that if you will act falsely between me, my children, and my grandchildren, so they had made a shvu one to the other that they would not attack each other. How could Shimshon go ahead and attack the Plishtim? The answer is the shvu is batal. Why is the shvu batal? So Rashi says, "Lefi shehem avru al shvu atchila," because they waged war against Klal Yisrael first. And from here, in fact, we learn out of Halach and Shulchan Aruch Yoredei, a simon reish lamed vav sif vav, that if two people make a shvuah one to the other, and one of them breaks the shvuah, the other one does not have to get a hatorah to shvuah. He doesn't have to officially go to Beis Din. The mere fact that the first party has gone against the shvuah gives the second one the right to also go against the shvuah. That, where do we learn that from? The case here by Shimshon. Since the Plishtim attacked Klal Yisrael first, Shimshon had every right to forget about the shvuah of Avram to Avimelech, and he could go ahead and attack the Plishtim. Continues the Gemara to explain the Psukim in Shimshon. It says, Vayigdal Anar, the boy Shimshon grew up, by Rechel, Hashem blessed him. Ask the Gemara by Me'er Baruch Hu, with what did Hashem bless him? Rashi explains that every time we find the word bracha, the second line of Rashi on the top, Loshen Ribrihu, Dover Hamarbe Umatsu Baitsoiv, it's something that a person has a lot of, and through it he finds satisfaction. Rashi asks, what bracha do we find by Shimshon? We don't find that Shimshon was an Aisher. If he was rich in money, we would understand the bracha, but we don't find that. So by Me'er Baruch, he blessed him in his zachrus, in his male organ. What does that mean? His organ was like any other person. But vizaroi, the zera, the seed, was kenachu shaitev, was like a rushing stream. In other words, what Shimshon needed, what he looked forward to, was what he could use against the Plishtim. And as we explained before, part of Shimshon's disguise was to look like a Plishti, like a Plishti who's just out to have a good time with women. So therefore, the bracha that Shimshon had to get in his fight on behalf of Klal Yisrael, where his own brethren disowned him as if he's not one of them, because that was the way he was going to begin to save and help Klal Yisrael against the Plishtim. So what he needed, a bracha, was in this area that he should be able to have zera kenachal shaitim, and that's what Hashem blessed him with. Continues the pasuk, Vayikra Shimshon el Hashem, Vayomar, this is when Shimshon is in the stadium, and he has all the Plishtim looking at him and mocking him as he was tied to the pillars, and he's about to bring the pillars down, and he said to Hashem, and we know, as we're going to speak about, that Shimshon's strength didn't come from his brute strength, but rather from Hashem. It came through his kedusha of Nazirus, and therefore, when his head was hair was shaven off, he lost his strength. So now he tells HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Hashem Elokim, Zachreini, no, remember me, V'chaskeini, no, Achapam, give me strength one more time, Achapam Azev, Inokman, I should take revenge, Nekoim Achas Mishtei Einam Eplishtim, two of my eyes were destroyed by the Plishtim. They were knocked out by the Plishtim. So one of my eyes, as Rashi says, Vischara Cheres Loilam Abba, that I'm not cashing in on this world. But my other eye, I'm giving up for Klal Yisrael. I'm not asking reward in Olam Abba for it, but I want to use it in order to destroy the Plishtim. Amar Rav, said Rav, Amar Shimshon of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Shimshon said in front of Hashem, Rabbeinu Shalom, Zechorli, remember, remember, Esrim Ushtaim Shana, the Messiah Sashas brings down that the Rajba in a tshuva says that it's a mistake, and his text in the Gemara was not Esrim Ushtaim, but rather Esrim, as we find in Navi, that Shimshon was the Shofet of Klal Yisrael for 20 years. Remember the 20 years Sheshafadati Es Yisrael, V'lo Yamarti La'echad Mem, I never said to one of the Jewish people, Havali Makel Mimakum Umakum, take my stick from one place to another. I never took advantage of the Jewish people. So Shimshon thought that this itself would give him the merit to bring down the stadium on which the roof where all the Plishtim were sitting, and he would kill them all. Since we have a rule, Kol Adon Din Emes Lamitoi, Nase Shutav Makadosh Baruch Hu B'Maisa Bereishis, whoever judges a din correctly and faithfully, becomes a partner with HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the creation of the world. So Shimshon thought that that's chus alone, that he never asked, even he never took advantage of his being a shofet by even asking anyone to do him a favor, to move a stick from one place to the other. That would be enough of a merit to bring down the roof on the plishtim. But Hashem said no. That's why Shimshon had to be misparal. I'm going to give up one of the schar of one of my eyes for Olam Habo. I'm going to give that up in order to destroy the plishtim. And on that Hashem listened, and in fact they were destroyed when Shimshon was able to bring the roof down on them. This is the story of the woman from Timnah. She was given to another plishti man, and what Shimshon did, acting in a rage, or a pretend rage, he grabbed 30 foxes, and he grabbed 300 foxes, and he tied fire to their tails. He captured 300 foxes. Asked the Gemara, Mishnah Shualim, why did he capture foxes? Foxes are very difficult to trap. They're very cunning. So why didn't he look for a different animal to do it to? Amar Rabbi Ivu Bar Nagdi, Amar Rabbi Chibar Abba, Amar Shimshon, Yavoy, the Bach's word is Shual, instead of the word me, Yavoy Shual, Shechayzer Lachayrav. When a fox is attacked, it does not turn around and scamper away, as other animals do, but the fox moves backwards, away from the enemy, the Yifram, he pushed them, Shechazer b'shvuasai, and let them pay up from the plishtim who backed out on their shvua. In other words, the fox, by the fox's nature of moving back, is a simon why the plishtim are being attacked here, because they went back on their shvua. And the Marsha adds, the shvua of Avimelech, that they would not attack the Jews. They didn't keep their shvua. And the Marsha adds, that's why he put the fire to the tail, to again bring out that point, that they went backwards. They went to the tail end. They did not go forward. Tanya, we learned in the Braisa. Amar Reb Shimon HaChassid, said Reb Shimon HaChassid, between the shoulders of Shimshon, there was a width of 60 amas. The Ben Yoyada says that this can't be taken literally, because that would mean that Shimshon would have a back. If we say an amma is 1.5 feet, or then he would be 90 feet wide, and he would, and if it was two, if an amma is 2 feet, then he would be 120 feet wide. A person could not exist like that. But rather, it means he had the strength that on his shoulders, he could keep the weight of something that was wide 60 amas. How do we know that he had such strength? Shenem, the pasuk says, Vayishkav Shimshon at chatzi halayla. Shimshon slept until the middle of the night. This is the story of the Anshe Azah, the men of Gaza, who surrounded the house of the Zona where Shimshon was, and they wanted to kill him, and in the middle of the night, he got up, and like a raging maniac, he went to the gates of the city. He grabbed a hold of the doors of the gates of the city. It's the two doorposts. And he lifted them up, and he carried them with the lock, with the crossbar. He put it on his shoulders. We have a Kabbalah. That the doors of Azah are not less than 60 amas, as we explained, the weight, or the gates themselves, Shimshon's shoulders were not 60 amas wide. Shimshon's shoulders were strong enough to support the gates of Azah, which we have a Kabbalah was 60 amas wide. That is the way the Ben Yoyada understands the Pshat of the Gemara. And what did this action do? It intimidated the plishtim. It showed that he's a maniac, and then what brute strength he had, don't mess with Shimshon, which is what Shimshon wanted to bring about, this feeling in the plishtim, that if you cross up Shimshon, he's going to act in a very irrational way, and then the plishtim can't take nekama on the Jews. The Jews say, he's not one of us, he's one of you, that's and he's crazy. And therefore, that was Shimshon's plan, how he could help the Jewish people without endangering the Jews. Continues the Gemara to explain the next pasuk. Vayehi toichem bebeis hasurim. Shimshon, when he was captured by the Plishtim, he was grinding in the prison. Amar Rabbi Yochanan ein tchina lashon aveira. We find that the word grinding is associated with an aveira. V'chein roimer, and the pasuk says titchan la'acher ishti. If my wife will grind for another man, which means she'll do an aveira with another man, melamed. So what does it have to do with Shimshon? Shekol echad v'echad. Every plishti hevi la'yas ishti brought his wife to Shimshon, lebeis asurim, to prison, kidei shetesavu heimenu, in order that she should become pregnant from Shimshon. So the Alshech HaKadosh says that it is impossible, again, to understand this Gemara literally, especially that in a few lines down, we're going to learn that Shimshon al Shmoy Shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu Nikra. He shares a common name with Hashem, and Shimshon he was done as Yisrael Kaviyim Sheba Shemayim. He judged the Jewish people like Hashem. So when you could, on the one hand, you compare Shimshon to Hashem, and on the other hand, he was such a pervert. It cannot be. Therefore, the Alshich learns that the Pshat is, just like we find by Yaakov Avinu, when he wanted the sheep to get stripes on them. So in front of the sheep, he put rods that had stripes. And when the sheep became pregnant, they looked at those rods, and that affected their children to become to have stripes on them. And just like we find the Gemara in Bava Metzia, when Rabbi Yochanan would sit by the mikveh where the women were going, so that the women could gaze at the beauty of Rabbi Yochanan, and then when they would be expecting a child, their child would be affected by the gaze that they had looked at Rabbi Yochanan. So too, the Plishtim wanted the strength that Shimshon personified, so they had their women go and look at this strong individual Shimshon, and they hoped that looking at Shimshon would affect their pregnant wife, that they should have a child with the strength of Shimshon. That's how, but the Alshech understands it, but yet, because there was a connotation of a relationship between a man and a woman, so although Shimshon did not do it, but therefore it's put in a lashon of tchina, which we find is associated with aveira. Omar Papa, that's what people say. In front of someone who drinks wine, what do you give him? You give him chamra, kame, refuka, in front of a gardener who's busy all day in the garden, planting vegetables and seeding and hoeing. What do you put? Greda duvla. You put a basket full of vegetables. Rashi says that the word duvla min yeriku. It's a type of vegetable. So in other words, in front of Shimshon, who is he has zera kenachal shaitech. So what do you put? You put women. But again, the Alshech learns that it meant that the women would look at Shimshon. V'yomer Rabbi Yochanan. Now comes a separate thing which has nothing to do with Shimshon. Kol ha'mizane ishtoi mizane nesolav. Kol ha'mizane, whoever himself commits znus, ishtoi mizane nesolav. So his wife, and she finds out what her husband's up to, so she says, I could play the same game also, and she's mizan on him. Shenemai, that's the pasuk that we brought before. That's why the Gemara brings this memory of Rabbi Yochanan down. In nifta libi al isha, if my heart was seduced by a woman, val pesach rei irafti, and I was waiting at the door of my friend, as I want to have a relationship with his wife, Uksiv the pasuk continues to say, if so, if I'm doing that to cheating on my wife, then titchen la'acher ishti. That's the pasuk we mentioned before about tchina. So then my wife will grind with another person. Ve'oleh on her yichrun acherin. Others will need to have relationship with her. V'hayna damrinchi, that's what people say. Iyu bekari. He's with the big pumpkins. Ve'itzeh bibutzni. And she is with the small pumpkins. In other words, Rashi says they're both Isaac in the same thing. He's with big pumpkins, she's with small, but they're all doing the same thing. So too, if you're a mizaneh, then your wife is going to do the same thing. Shimshon judged the Jewish people like Hashem. Shenemar don yadin amoy keechad mishifte Yisrael. So pashipshat is that yadin can also mean revenge. Don in the personification of Shimshon, who comes from Shem of Don, will take revenge for his people, and through that ached shifte Yisrael, he'll be ma'ached, he'll bring unity to Klal Yisrael. But now we're learning it a totally different way. We're learning don yadin means he will judge the Jewish people. Like whom will he judge? Ke'achad, referring to HaKadosh Baruch Hu Shimshon, judge Yisrael, Kavim Shebashmaim. V'yom Rabbi Yechon, Shimshon al Shmoy Shal HaKadosh Baruch Hu Nikra. Shimshon is called by the name of Hashem. Shenemar, Ki Shemesh Umogin Hashem Elokim. Hashem is a well. Rashi says the word Shemesh, he brings a pasuk to show that Shemesh does not mean the sun, but here it means a well, and a shield is Hashem. And therefore, Shimshon was like Hashem. He shielded Klal Yisrael. So the Gemara understood in the Havamina that one of Hashem's name is Shemesh. Elamiyata lo yimachet. The din should be that you can't do mechikas Hashem. And we know that if somebody crossed out, erased the word Shemesh, he's not over for destroying Hashem's name. Ela me'ein shemoy shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It means that Shemesh is a description of how Hashem protects Klal Yisrael, but not that it's an actual name of Hashem. And of course, there is no Mechikas Hashem. And now we can say Ma Hakadosh Baruch Hu Megin Al Kol Olam Kuloi. Just like Hashem protects the whole world, he's a wall to any dangerous things in the world. Av Shimshon Megin Medore Al Yisrael. Shimshon was like Hashem, and he protected in his generation through this whole surreptitious manner of camouflage, of acting like a plishti and going with plishti women, when he was really a tzaddik yisoid olam. This is the way that he protected Klal Yisrael. V'yamar Rabbi Yochanan, and Rabbi Yochanan said, Bilam chiga b'ragul achasaya. Bilam was lame on one foot. Shneimer, the pasuk says vayelech shefi. The word shefi, Rashi explains, means something that's knocked out of its joint. And the Marshal explains that when the chamor went up against the wall, he crushed the leg of Bilam. And yet Bilam was moiser nefesh to go and curse Klal Yisrael. So he went limping along, even though one of his feet was crushed. Shimshon chiger b'shnei raglav hoya. Shimshon was crippled and lame in both feet. Shenema shvifon alei arach. He was slithering along in the ground like a snake. So since there are two pays in this word, shvifon, if shefi means one leg by Bilam, by Shimshon it means two. And therefore, Rav Gershon Weiss, my Rebbe in these inyanim, pointed out that the pictorial biblical calendars that you see, which has biblical scenes, and the scene of Shimshon is like he is Mr. America or Mr. Universe. In our days, it was Charles Atlas was Mr. America. And that's the description of Shimshon with his bulging muscles and chest. That's not Shimshon, like we see in this Gemara. Shimshon was a lame on both feet. He was a cripple. He slithered along the ground. What was his koyach? His koyach was, as the pasuk says, and we're going to learn about it, Vatitzlach Olav Ruach Hashem. Through the Kedusha of Nazirus, the Ribbono Shel Olam bestowed upon him an unbelievable strength that no other human being ever had. But it was not a physical brute strength of muscles, but rather it came from the Kedusha of his Nazirus. And here we see that in fact he was a physical cripple. Continues the Gemara. Tana Rabbana, Chamisha Nivru Mein Dug Mashal Mala. There were five people in this world who were miyuchad. They had something special that no other human being had. And as a result, they were like HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Just like HaKadosh Baruch Hu, there's nothing in the world to compare to Hashem. So me'ain that, these people who had a certain mile that no other human being could imitate, in that way, they were like, so to speak, godly, that they were higher and greater than any human being in this one area. And v'kulan, all five of these people, laku behen, in that area which they were prominent in, there is where they got hit. Shimshon mekaychay. Shimshon was outstanding in his strength, and he got hit through his strength. Shaul b'tzavolo. Shaul was great with his neck, as the pasuk says, by Shaul mishichmoy u'mala gavoya mikolam. From his shoulders and up, he was higher than any. He stood out in the crowd. He was, as they say, head and shoulders above everybody else. And he's going to get hit in his neck, as we'll soon see. Avshalom Basari. Avshalom was a nozer, just like Shimshon, but he was nizgoya, he was haughty about his beautiful long hair, as we're going to learn about, and his end, as we learned in the Mishnah previously, was mida keneged mida, that he got hit with his hair. Tzitkiyol, Mount Tzitkiyol Beinov. He had sharp vision. Asa Baraglov. Asa was swift-footed. And Rashi says that we have no makor for this, but this Mandiyomer who's saying it, Kach Shomer Meraboy. This he had a Kabbalah from his Rebbe to these facts. Now how do we know that Shimsha was hit b'koichai d'chsid? V'yosar koich me'olav. That once his hair was shorn off, then his strength went away, and then they were able to punish Shimsha. Shaul b'tzavoy d'chsid v'yikach Shaul s'chev. Shaul took the sword. V'yipolay, he fell on it, and Rashi explains, Malkum shahargim b'cherev v'ayin tzavoy. Where does a person get killed? So the Gemara understands that he probably got killed in his neck, where it's the easiest for the sword to kill the person. Avshalom Basari, Kibinu Lememer, come on. We're going to learn further how Avshalom on Amid Beis was killed through his hair. Tzidkiyo, Bein of Dechsev, Ves Eine Tzidkiyo, Iver. Nebuchadnezzar killed the children of Tzidkiyo in front of his eyes, and that was the last thing that he saw in his life, and then Nebuchadnezzar made him blind. When he got old, he was sick on his feet. What was the sickness that Asa had? He got padgra. What is padgra? Gout. How does it feel? Like needles in live flesh. How did his Rebbe know this? That he also suffered from gout, so he described to his Talmud exactly how he felt, like a needle going through his foot. Or he heard it in turn from his Rabbi. He had a secret from Hashem, and this was a secret that was revealed to those who fear Hashem, and his bris is made known to them. Dorish Rava. Why was Asa punished on his feet? Because he made Talmid Chachamim forced into service. Shenemar, the pasuk says, "Vamelech Asa Hashmias Kol Yehuda." He called together all of Yehuda. Einoki, no one was exempt. My Einoki, what does it mean? I'm Rabbi Yehuda, I'm a rabbi. Fill a chasim echedra, become a chupasa. Even a chasim from his room. Where on that the pasuk says that Noki yiel abeisoi shana achas, he should be clean to his house for 1 year to be mesameach his wife. He was also called out. So there's a machlok yasir between the mesoros hashas and the marsha. The mesoros, Rabbi Shaya pick, brings from the Oruch that the way we learn it out is from chasim kala. If even a chosin who's supposed to be separated to his house for a year was called into service by Asa, certainly a Talmud Chacham. The Marsha learns, no. The way we learn it out is from earlier where it says, Hashmias kol Yehuda. He called out to all of Yehuda, which includes even the Talmid Chacham. And then the Gemara goes on to say, Einaki, it means a chosin and kala as well. So two different ways how we learn this drush out. As a result of forcing the Talmid Chachamim, what did the Talmid Chachamim do? The Talmid Chachamim had a job that Basa, the king of Yisrael, made a siege around Asa in Ramah, and he put it around the city, wood and stones, and then he finally left the siege, and the job of all Yehuda, including Talmid Chachamim, including Chasa V'Kala, was to remove this a siege of wood and stones that Basa Melech Yisrael had put around the town of Ramah. Continues the Gemara, Ksiv, Vayerit Shimshim Timnasa. Shimshim went down when he began his fight for Klal Yisrael against the Plishtim. He went down to the city of Timnah. Uksiv, Hinei Chamicha Oyla Timnasa. By Yehuda, by Tamar, after Er Va'onan died, Yehuda married a woman, Bathsheba. He had three children, Onan and Shelah. And then Onan died, and his daughter-in-law was Tamar, who married Er. After Er died, Onan did Yibum. And then when Onan died, Yehuda was afraid that maybe she's a katlanis, the Gemara, the Mefarshim explained, and he didn't give over Tamar to his third son, Shelah. He was worried that Shelah would die as well. Then it says, your father-in-law is coming up to Timnas. And that's when she disguised herself as a Zona, and she lived together with Yehuda. So the Gemara's question at this point is, by Shimshon, they both lived in Eretz Yisrael. Yet by Shimshon, it said that he went down to Timnas. And by Yehuda, it says he went up. Amar Rav Elazar, Shimshon, Shin is Ganeba, Ksiv Be'Yerida. Shimshon, who started, he had a Gnai from it. He went down amongst the Plishtim. As we said, it was a tremendous Mesiras Nefesh from his part. Everybody felt he's an outcast, a degenerate. He's going to live with the Plishti women. And that was his way of helping Klal Yisrael. But after, since he got embarrassed from it, it says he went down. Yehuda Shenis Alaba, by Yehuda, who became elevated through going to Timnas. Why? Because what came out of his relationship with Tamar? Peretz and Zarach. And who comes out of Peretz? We have at the end of Megillas Rus, which we're going to read on Shavuos and Mirtzah Shem, that that's the ancestors of David HaMelech and Shlomo and Mashiach Tzikenu. So he had an Aliyah from Eksiv Be'Aliyah. There it says, Vayal, that he's Oyla Timnasa. Rav Shmuel by Nachmani Amar, he says a different thing. Shnei Timnais Hayu. There were two Timnais, Chare Birida v'Chare Baliyah. One was, there were two different cities. And one, in the time of Shimshon, the Timnas was down, and the time, in a valley, and the time of Yehuda, it was up. There was only one Timna, but it was on the side of a mountain. The Asim Haigisirida. If you're coming down the mountain, you're going like Shimshon, that he was Yoreg to Timnasia. Vayored Shimshon Timnasia. The Asim Haigisirida. If you're coming from the bottom of the mountain, then you're going up to Timnas. That's what Yehuda did. Where do we find a precedent? You're going Vardunia and Beberi and Shukah de Narish, the marketplace of Narish. All of these three places were on the side of a mountain, so it depends which direction you came, whether you're going up or down. And then it says that Tamar was acted like a Zona. Vateshuk, she sat the Pesach Einayim. What does the word Einayim mean? Amar Rav Zandroi, Malamich, Aholchav, Yashvala, Bepiskish, Lavram, Avinu. She went to the opening of Avram Avinu, Makom Shekol Einayim, Tzifus, Araisai. This was the favorite spot of all people who were passing by because they knew it was a reputation. Avram took care of your lodging, of your food, of your drink. Everything was taken care of. A free hotel. All you had to do, as we'll see on Ahmed Beis, you had to be bless HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So everybody looked forward. That's what it means by Einayim. Rav Chanan Amar, Rav Makom Hu Sheshmoy Einayim. There's a place called Einayim. V'chein when we find a pasuk. Tipurach v'ha'enam, and he says that's the same as Einayim. Rav Shmuel bar Nachmani Amar, Shenasna Einayim l'dvareha kishatava. When Yehuda wanted to have a relation, by the way, we should point out, the Medrash says that a Malach pushed Yehuda to Tamar, even though he sees she looks like a Zona, and the Malach said to Yehuda, don't leave here for greatness will come out. As we're going to see on Amid Beis, Malachim, kings, and Nevi'im came out from his relationship with Tamar. So when he went to her, and he starts asking her, he didn't want to do an Aveira, Amalah, Shema Nakusat, maybe you're a Goy. So she gave him a Nayim, means she gave him, I think the Pshat, Rashi says she gave him like a Pesach. Maybe it's the idea of an eye-opener. She opened up his eyes why he should be mutter to live with her. Are you a Goy? No, Amalei Giyarusani, I'm a Gier. Shema Eishas Ishat, maybe you have another husband. Amalei Pnuyani, I don't. Shema Kibol Bachar V'chal Kedushin, maybe your father accepted Kedushin on your behalf. And then you would be considered married because as Biti Nasati, Leisha's father has a right to give over his daughter when she's a Ketana. Amra Lei, she answered him, Yisaymani, I'm Yisayman. And Rashi says, you know who married me off to Aaron Onan? My brother and my mother. And At this time, before Matan Torah, the brother, the Rabbanan later gave a karech to the mother and the brother to marry off a Yosaima. But at this time, the mother and brother had no right. Therefore, Rashi says, she took care of another problem. That even if you think I'm your daughter-in-law, which the Gemara says he didn't recognize that it was his daughter-in-law, we'll see on Ahmed Beis, but in her mind she was saying, I'm not your daughter-in-law either. Because the kedushin of my mother and brother to Erev Arnon were nothing. And therefore, there's no reason to asur me on you als kala, als daughter-in-law. And then Rashi adds an interesting thing. There are those, it's brought down in Midrashim, that Tamar was the daughter of Shem. That's why one pshat, she was taken out with Sreifa. Why Sreifa? Because a Bas Koyin who commits Nus, even as a Pnuya, there's a din of Sreifa, and Shem was a Koyin. That's what some say. So Rashi here says, no, she couldn't have been Shem's daughter, because we see here, when she was married off, she was a Ketana. And Shem, when Shem died, Yaakov was 60 years old, and here, Yaakov's already, in this story of Yudin Toma, 110 years old. So how could she have been Shem's daughter and be a Ketana 50 years after Shem passed away? So Rashi says from here, if she was a Ketana by Erev Arnon, then she could not have been the daughter of Shem. Continues, Yehuda says, Shema Tameyat, maybe you're Tameh, Amrelei Tor, and you know I'm Tor. There are those who ask if she was a Geiris, so we know Gershon is Geir, Kekot and Shenayla Dami. If so, then she has no relationship to her biological father. So if so, what is she saying? What is Yehuda asking? After he told her she was a ger, after she told him she was a ger, what's Yehuda say? Well, maybe your father accepted Kedushin, but Gershon's guy, she's not related to her father anymore. So they bring down that Tosfos Shita is that if a father and a daughter become a ger at the same time, that the father does, even though there's a din of Gershon's guy, he retains that right of Biti Nasati Lishazer. She told him, no, I'm a Ketana, my father died, and my mother and brother were Mekadishmi, which is not a good Kedushin. Continues the Gemara to explain the pasuk about Avram, Vayita Eshel Be'er Shava. Avram made a Eshel Be'er Shava. The simple pshat of Eshel is a tree. Omre Shlach Shmelamed, Sha'asa Paris. He made a garden. V'natu Bay Komin Be'Garden. And he planted in the garden all kinds of delicious fruits. Rabbi Yudavam Nechemi Yav Machloikis. Chadamar Paris. One says it was a garden. V'chadamar Pundik. One says it was a hotel. Bishlam Lamandi Amar Paris Hanadik Vayita. That's what it says he planted. El Lamandi Amar Pundik My Vayita. What does Vayita have to do with a hotel? Yes, Kedasir Vayita. That he made the tent into a palace. In other words, by a hotel, it's also possible to say pitch the tent of the hotel, so it also applies the word vayita. Vayikra Shem Hashem Hashem Kelalim. Avram called out the name of Hashem. Onresh Lakish Al Tikra Vayikra. Don't read the word Vayikra. He called Elah as we turn to Daf Yiramid Beis Vayakri. He was Gorim. He caused others to call out the name of Shem Alamit. Shehikra Avram Avinu Lishmai Shalakash Baruch Hu Pek Kol Ovi Rishav. That Avram Avinu caused the name of Hashem to be called out by every passing person. Ketzad how? La'achr Shalakhu Vishasu. After they ate and drank. Omdu Luvach, they got up to thank Avram. Omer Lemmy said to them, V'chim Yishaliyah Chaltim, did you eat mine? Mishal Alkei Olam Chaltim, you ate from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Hoidu V'shibchu Baruch Hu Mishamar V'yayim. Go praise and thank the one who said, let there be a world. The Medrash adds that if they didn't want to do this, they said, I'm an agnostic, I don't believe in Hashem. They said, he said, okay, then you got to pay me the fair price of an inn. I'm not going to charge you exorbitant prices, but you got to pay. The only way not to pay is bless Hashem. So some of them said, okay, so I'll fake out, I'll bless Hashem, at least I won't have to pay. So and yet Avram is willing to do that because mitarch shalai lishma, bo lishma, va yireha, Yehuda. Yehuda saw his daughter-in-law and he didn't recognize her. Yachshavel was on, he thought she was a Zayna. Why? The pasuk says, ki chis apaneh, she covered her face. Ask the Gemara the obvious question, mishum de chis apaneh, chashvel a Zayna. Because she covered her face, he thought she's a Zayna. I don't know, covering a face is a sign of tznius, of modesty. How did that give an impression that she was a zayin? Amar Rav Elazar she kisses up on that bebeis chamel. It doesn't mean she covered her face now. It could be now her face was revealed. But he had never seen her face. She was so modest that in the house of her father-in-law, he never saw her face. So now when he saw her, he didn't recognize her. So he thought she's sitting there on the way to get a customer and that she's a zayna. How do we know that Tama covered her face in the house and she was a tznua called kala? She tznua beis chamel. Any kala who is modest in the house of her father-in-law, zoicha v'yotzim imenu malachim neviim. You know who comes out from her? There comes out kings and neviim. How do we know it? Me tomer neviim dechsev chazon Yishayah ben Amoitz. The beginning of Sefer Yishayah, it says the vision of Yishayah the son of Amoitz. And we're soon going to see how we know that Amoitz came from Tamar. Malachi mi David. Malachi was from David. The Bach says, De Omar Rab Levi. David is emissary of Yodenu. May I have a saying? We have a Kabbalah. Amoitz Rab Matsya Achmavu. Amoitz, the father of Yishaya, and Amatsya, who was a Melech Yehuda, were brothers. They both came from David. And David came from Peretz, and Peretz is from Tamar. So the pshat is that once I know that Amatzia is a descendant from David HaMelech, and Amoitz was his brother, so Yeshaya is a Navi who comes from Tamar. Now the Mephoreshim say that it says Melachim, we understand. David and all the Shloima and all the Melachim that came out of Tamar. But what about Neviim, plural? The answer is because we have a klal that wherever a Navi's Nevuah is said in his name and in the name of his father was also a Navi. So since here it says Chazon Yishayah ben Amoitz, it means that Amoitz was also a Navi. So we find that Yishayah and his father Amoitz, who was the brother of Amatzia, they all came from Peretz who came from it came from David, who came from Peretz, who came from Tamar. So why was Tamar Zoicha to Neviim and Malachim? Because she was modest in the house of her father-in-law. He mutzeis. Now, when she became pregnant, so Yehuda thought that his daughter-in-law was not wedded, and she's being taken out to be burnt. There's a chiddush to Gipshat of the Torah Tmima who says that in those days they had a minig that a woman who was a zona on her forehead was branded the word zayna. That's his chiddush pshat. But normal pshat is that she was taken out to be burnt. Now, why is the Gemara asks, why is the pasuk written mutzeis, which could also mean she found something? Why don't you write it more clearly? He mitutzeis. If you say mitutzeis, it doesn't mean found. There it must mean she was taken out. So mitutzeis meboyolei. I'm Rab Lazar. No, you know what it means? It was found. La'achar shenimtzu simonel. She sent simonim to Yehuda with the shliach, which were your psil, your garment, your chaisim, your seal, and your mate, your stick. And she said, whoever owns this, that's the father of this child. Bo Samuel v'richikon. So Samuel, who is the malach in heaven for Edom, pushed him away because he wants her to get burnt. He doesn't want you to see the simonim. He doesn't want you to admit, Sotka, me, many, I was the father, because she was the Zayna, I thought she was the Zayna. And really, I was doing, as the Ramban explains, the mitzvah of Yibum. In those days, the famous Ramban, that Yibum was not only to a brother, but any relative. So it comes out that I was doing the mitzvah of Yibum with her. So, Bo Samuel v'richagam, Bo Gavriel, who defends Klal Yisrael, v'kirvan, he brought him close, because he wanted, Samuel didn't want David to come out, because David hit Edom, and Samuel's trying to defend Edom. So he doesn't want David, whereas Gavriel's on Yisrael's side, and he brought them close. Ha'ne d'chsev, l'amnatzeach al yoynes ilay. Lamnatzeach to the conductor, to the silent dove. Tamar is compared to a dove because Klal Yisrael is compared to a dove. So in this act that she kept quiet and didn't embarrass, as we're going to learn soon, she didn't embarrass her father-in-law. She didn't say, you are the father of this child. By the silence of this dove, Rechaikim, the things which were far away, what does that refer to? Because as we just learned, Samuel was trying to push them far away. L'David nichtam. This is all because David is going to come out. That's why Samuel was pushing it away. What is the word nichtam? We're going to see three pshat in the Gemara. Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Misha, Shenitzrachku Simonel, Nasis Kiyonis Ilamis. The time that the Simonim were sent away, far away by Samuel, she became like a dove who was quiet. L'David nichtam. She yatsa mimenu David. David came out of her. Here's pshat number one. Shal yamach v'tam l'chol. He was, as Rashi explains, he was an anav mach, and Tommy was tamim bedrachav. He was a sholem, a complete person. That's the first pshat in the word mich tam, mach and tam. Davaracha, a second pshat, michtam, shahaisa makasai tama. What a person normally would have a makkah, which means he would have a bris milah, he was noilad mohu. He was noilad without a makkah. He was born, David HaMelech, with tama, he was tmimis. So now the second pshat is makasai. The word michtam stands for makasai tam. What normally would have been a makkah by him was whole. The Marshoa asked the Kasha from the Gemara Menachas Daf Mem Gimel Amud Beis. The Gemara says that David HaMelech was once in a bathhouse, and he thought at that moment when he had no clothing on that he didn't have any mitzvahs, and then he saw that he has a bris mila. So according to this Gemara, what's David so happy? Oh, I have one mitzvah. You were born like that. You didn't do the bris milah. The Mashiach answers that David was still besimcha because had he been an oral, it would have been obligatory on him, with a chiyuv chorus, if he would not have taken care of it, to give himself a bris milah. So even though according to this Gemara he didn't do the bris milah, the fact that he had a bris was still a source of great satisfaction to him. Shenoyad kishu mol, he was noyad mol. Dover achor, a third pshat michtam, kishem shebekatnusa hikten atzma etzom. Just like when he was young, he went to everybody and learned Torah from anyone. Kach begadlusay. Katnusay means before he became Melech, and gadlusay means even after he became Melech. The Bach continues, Kach begadlusay, hikten, atzmai, etza, misha, gadol mimenu, lumay Torah. And that's the pshat now. Michta means mechusay. Mechusay means his machus, his humbleness was tum, it was shalem. When he was young, when he was old, before he became king, after he became king, didn't matter, as the Gemara tells us in Brachas, that he would ask Mipi Boishas, his Rebbe, did I done correctly? Did I not done correctly? He wasn't embarrassed as king to consult with Mipi Boishas, his Rebbe. She sent a message to her father while she's being taken out to be burnt. To the man who owns these personal effects, the chaisim, the psil, and the mate, I became pregnant. What's she playing a game? She's being taken out to be burnt. Tell the messenger directly, go tell my father why you are the father of this child. From here we learn out a famous rule. It is better for a person to throw himself into a burning fire, a furnace of fire, and he should not embarrass somebody but Rabbit. So, and this is way the Mephoshim explain why Tamar went through this whole charade that she looked like a Zayna. Because she wanted, from her was supposed to come out Mashiach. From Tamar comes out Mashiach. You don't get Mashiach for nothing. You have to work for Mashiach. So Tamar had to work for it, and Yehuda had to work for it. Tamar had to work for it because she's ready. If her father-in-law won't admit the secret, she's ready to die, but she's not going to embarrass him. Either he admits it himself, she goes to death with the secret. That's her Mesiris Nevish. His Mesiris Nevish is Tzotka. She is innocent. Mimani, I am the father. So people say, you're the father, so you didn't know that she's pregnant? What's going on? I saw her as a zona. You were with a zona? What's going on? So Yehuda will have to explain that a malach pushed me and etc. etc. He'll give a whole explanation. And he checked out that she's really mutter to whatever. But initially, it's a tremendous embarrassment for him. The easiest thing for him to keep quiet, let her go to her death. So when they both were oimed in their Nisoyan, then the Zarchid of Mashiach come out of them. We learn now, don't embarrass somebody, Baram, even if it means you're going to go to death. Ask Tosfos, the famous Kasha here, first Tosfos on the Daf, Noyach, so why isn't this not included in the Gemara and Pesachim, Daf Chof Hei? Three things are Yarg Vayavar, Gil Yarai, Shrik Zavar Vayazara, why don't you add also being Malbin, Pnei Chavei Baram? You also have to give up your life. If somebody comes with a gun, embarrass him, you have to say, no, I'm ready to die instead of embarrassing him. So Tosfos answers that the Gemara only speaks about those things that are beforish written in the Torah. This is not something, we learn it out from Tomer's action, but it's not a halacha psuk in the Torah. Rabbeinu Yonah says, because it's considered a chelik of shvichas damim. It goes into the category, because the Gemara tells about Metziah, when you embarrass somebody, his face gets red, then it gets white, it's like killing them. And finally, the Pnei Yeshua, and I believe the Torah Tmima says this also, that it says, Noyach loy la'adam, sheyapal atzma l'tarach kivshayich. It is better for a person. It's sort of a mili de chasidus. He's allowed to. Like this, yavar v'yorek. So here, if you want to, you should. But there is no chiyav like you have by the other three. This is the shita of the Pnei Yeshua. Continues the Gemara to explain the psukim of Yud and Tamar. Hakim or recognize whose effect, personal effects these are. Om Rabbi Chanina, Rabbi Chanina, Bahakir Bishalaviv, Bahakir Bishru. Yehuda said to his father, Hakir, and he caused his father pain, says the Marsha. And Hakir was said to Yehuda, and it caused him pain as well. Bahakir Bishar, Hakir Nakasayin Spinchahi. Look, is this the clothing, the garment of Yosef? And it was dipped in blood as if Yosef had got killed by an animal. Bahakir Bisru, Mita Kenegan Mita, they gave him some painful news with the word Hakir. She said, Hakir Nolami, look who's this arg. Look, you're the father. So that caused him tremendous pain and embarrassment. No, why was she pleading with him? Ain't no Russian Bakasha. Please, Amrale, she said to him, Bakasha Mimcha, I beg you, Hakir Pnei Baracha, don't think of yourself. I'm not going to tell the secret. That's my nesoyin. But you, on your part, you're in front of Hashem. Don't hide your eyes from me. Don't let me go to my death. Vayaker Yehuda, he recognized it. Vayomer, and he said, Tzotka, she's innocent, mimeni. It's from me. Haina da Amar Rav Chanan Bar Bizna Amar Rav Shem Chasida. Yosef Shekidish Shem Shemam B'Seser Zacha Vaisifu Loi Ois Achas Mishmai Shalkash Baruch Hu. Yosef, who was Mekadish Shem Shemam in secret with Eishes Poitifar, he didn't do an Aveira, so he was given one letter of Hashem. Dechsev Eidus B'Yehosef Shemai. We add the name of Hay. Yehosef Shmai. Yehuda Shekidish Shemai for Hesia. He admitted in front of everybody was looking. Zachav Nikra Kuli Ashmai Shakash Baruch. His name is totally with the four letters of Hashem. Yud Kei Vavke. You all find those four letters in the name of Hakadosh of Yehuda. Kivin Shahid of Amr Tzatka Mimeni. As soon as he said that she's innocent, I am the father, Yatzar Baskol Baskol came out for Amr and said, Ato Itzalta Tamar Vishne Baner. You saved Tamar and the two twin sons that she is pregnant with, parrots and Zarchman are from the fire. Chayecho, I swear by your life, Shani Matzel, Beschuscha, and your Schuscha will be Matzel. Gimel mi banecho, mina are three of your children from the fire. Maninu, who is it? Chanani, Mishal, Ve'azaria. Continues the Gemara. Tzotka mi mani, mina yada. How did Yehuda know if he thought maybe she was a Zoyna, maybe this is the child of some other man? How does he know it's his child? Yotzu Basko Vamra, a Basko came out and said, Mimeni Yotzu Kvushim, these secrets came out for me. In other words, I wanted that Malcha should come out of Tamar. And we know Gur Aryeh Yehuda, from who does Malchus come out? From Shevet Yehuda. So all these secrets are for me. So according to this pshat, the Gemara is learning that the Omar is going not on Yehuda, but the Omar is going on the Shechina, on the Baskal, and he's saying, Tzotka, she's innocent, mimeni, mi Hashem, I'm the one who arranged that this all should happen. The simple pshat is he did not continue to have any relations with her. He wanted to show that this whole thing came out to be the mitzvah of Yibum. And he's replacing his... that's why Yehuda had to be the one to do the Yibum, because Shelah would only have replaced who? Onan. And who had to be replaced? Er had to be replaced. Because Er is going to, the Bechor, from the Bechor is going to come out Mashiach. Who's the only living person in the world who could, through Yibum, replace both of his sons? That's the father. The father who had Er v'Onan, he could have the next two sons would replace. And who came out replacing Er? Peretz. That's why they were so careful to find out, to put the red string around the first person who's going to come out, because it wasn't just who's going to be born first. The one who's going to be born first, the Bechor, from him is Mashiach going to come out. It was very important to know who that child's going to be. So once he wanted to show, I'm not having any relations with Tamar anymore, to show I did it for Yibam, and that's why precisely he had two children, that those two children should replace his original two children that died. Amr Shmuel, Sabo Chamud bar Rav Shmuel bar Ami, Mishmei Rav Shmuel. Shmuel, the father-in-law, Shmuel Sabo, the father-in-law of Rav Shmuel bar Ami, said in the name of Rav Shmuel bar Ami, Kivin Sheyada, once he knew, says Rashi, that she had had total kavana l'shem shamayim with this whole thing, just that they should have a schus to have Mashiach come out of them. Shuv loy pasak mimana. Lo Yosef doesn't mean he didn't continue to live with her. It means he didn't stop living with her. How do I know? Ksiv achav lo Yosef ad l'dato. Uksiv hasem by Har Sinai. Koil gadol v'lo Yosef. There was a loud, never-ending voice. So it means, according to this pshat, not like the pashup pshat, he never ended to have relationship with her. Now we go to the next part of the Mishnah about Avshalom. Avshalom is garbish sarai. Mida keneged mida, he was balgaiva with his hair, and his death came through his hair. Tana Rabban, Avshalom b'sari mort. Avshalom rebelled with his hair, shenemer. Ukav shalom lohaya isha yafa. There was no more handsome person than Avshalom, and he became infatuated with his own hair, with his handsomeness. And it says that he, from his head to toe, there was not a blemish. So Chazal learned that it means that Avshalom was a tzaddik. And people thought after the chet of David and Bathsheba, that who's going to take over? The tzaddik Avshalom. The only flaw he had, defect he had in his character, he got enraptured with his beauty. And that gaiva led him to rebel against David. He was a nazir. And once he was a nazir oilam. And a nazir oilam is mutter, as Rashi says, when his hair gets heavy, that he can shave his hair once a year. From year to year, it was heavy, the hair. He weighed the hair of his head. And he weighed 200 shkalim, the Evan of the king. This was not a regular weight, but it was the weight that Anshe Tveria, they used larger weights than regular people. Anshe Tveria and Anshe Tzipari. So it was 200 shkolim of the real heavy weight of the Anshe Tveria and the Anshe Tzipari. Lefikach, nitla besari. That's why he was hanging by his hair, and that's how his end came through his hair. Shenemar, the pasuk says, Vayikore Avshalom lifnei Avdei David. Avshalom by chance appeared in front of the Avdei David. Vavshalom roichev al haperet. After he started rebelling against David, he was riding on a mule. Vayovei haperet tachas shoivech ha'ol agdoila. And the mule came under a thick branches of a large elm tree. Vayoichez roishevala. His hair, his head got attached to the elm tree, because it got stuck in one of the branches. Vayuta min shemayim uve'aretz. He is hanging between heaven and earth. Va'peret asher tachtav avar. And the mule that was under him went away. So he's now hanging there. Shokol safsira. He took a sword. Bor lemivski. He wanted to cut his hair off so that he should drop down to the ground and he should escape from David's men. Tanah by Rabbi Shmuel Boishu at that moment. Nifka Shomi Tachtov, underneath him, opened up the whole Gehenim. And the Mefarshim say, therefore, he realized at that moment he did tshuva. And he realized that what I've done is a rebellion against my father. And I'm not going to cut myself off. And if they kill me, let that killing be a kapora for my averis. I don't want to get to Gehenim. What happened? He died. He got killed by David's men. And what was David's reaction? Vayirgaz HaMelech, the king trembled. Vayal al Aliyas Hashar, he went up to the upper chamber of the gate. Vayevchen, he cried. Vekoyomer Belechta, and this is what he said when he was going. Bini Avshalom, my son Avshalom. One time, Bini. Bini, Bini Avshalom. Three times, Bini. Miyiten Moisi Anitadecha, I wish I would have died instead of you. Avshalom, Bini, Bini, five times, my son. Va'amelech Lord, as part of the next pasuk said, the king wrapped his face around, Va'yizek HaMelech HaGadol, and he cried out a great cry, Bini Avshalom, six times Bini. Avshalom, Bini, Bini, eight times Bini. Ask the Gemara, Hani Tamnye Bini Lama, why is David screaming out these eight times of my son? The Gemara answers two truths. Shiva, the askim is Shiva, Medur Gehenim. Seven were to take, his son was destined to go to Gehenna. So by each time that David was mispal for Bini, he lifted his son out from one of the levels of Gehenna. Ve'idach, the eighth time, Ikid Amri, the Kor of Rachel Gabi Gufe. Some say that this caused miraculously that his head that had got sliced off by David's soldiers and that rolled someplace far away from the body. So miraculously, the head was united to the body. The Ikedamri and some say, the Asiel Almadasi, that the eighth Bini took him out of the seven Maduri Gehenim, but it brought him finally into Oilum Habo itself. Asks Toisus the Kasha that we know from the Gemara in Sanhedrin of Kufdal Amidav that Bra Mizaka Abba. If a son says Kaddish for a father, he can give merit. He learns Torah for his father. He causes his father to rise up in Olam Abba, higher and higher. But Abba Loi Mizaka Bra. But a father cannot be Mizaka his son. If his son passes away before the father can't do anything. As the pasuk says, "Ve'ein miyadi matzel." No one can save from my hand, says Hashem. "Ein Avram matzel es Yishmael, v'lo Yitzchak es Esav." Avram can't help Yishmael, and Yitzchak can't help Esav. "Avol aben matzel es Av." So, if so, how could David here help Avshalom? And Tosfos answers, because Avshalom died such a misa mishuna that he got his portion in this world already. And Memela, the tefillah of David, was able to help in this case even his son. A second teret says Tosfos, that when do you say a father can't help a son? That's like Yishmael and Esav, who served Avodah Zarah. But Avshalom didn't serve Avodah Zarah. And a final teret says Tosfos, is when do you say Abba can't help a son? That's only if, through the yichus of the father, you want to help the son. Yichus doesn't work. The covet of the father can't stop the son from winding up in Gehenna with the Rishoya. Without Tvila, but with Tvila, Tvila helps. And David was Mispala of Shalom, and it worked. And we end off with a story and a pshat of Reb Chaim Shmulevitz, Zecher Tzadik Livracha. I believe the story is accurate. The way I remember it, that Reb Chaim Shmulevitz, they saw him Erev Yom Kippurim going, not to the Kaisel, and not to Kever Rochel, and not to Meron. Where is Reb Chaim Shmulevitz going? He's going to the Kever of Avshalom, which is right behind the walls of Yerushalayim. So they asked Reb Chaim, why Erev Yom Kippur are you going to the Kever of Avshalom? And Reb Chaim said, and we find it in his Sefer, Sichas Musar, in the year Tavshin Lamed Gimel, Maimer Chav Ches, Amud Sadik Beis, says Reb Chaim, that on the Yom Neroim were Mispal, Rachameinu, have mercy on us, Kerachem Av Albonim, like a father has mercy on his children, says Reb Chaim, Ki ein mida legoidel rachmanis yesh la'av al ben. There is no measure of the great rachmanis that a father has for his son. And where do we see the greatest example of this? The greatest example we see is in our Gemara, which he quotes from David and Avshalom. That even though Avshalom rebelled against his father, and he ran after David to kill him, and he was mekalkel in Pilakshov, le'ene kol Yisrael, he took David's wives. Ve'im kol zeh, at the time when David heard that his son Avshalom had been killed in his rebellion, the pasuk says, as we just learned, "Vayirgaz Hamelach," he trembled, and he went up, and 8 times he repeated "Bini, Bini," and he said, "Miyiten Moisi ani tachtech," I wish I would have died instead of you. So he brought his son out from this Shiva Maduri Gehenim, and he brought him into Olam Haba. Ki ein shir vein orach l'rachamim hatzvuyim b'leiv o'av al ha-ben. Ad she David kore b'vechi al b'noi shemarad boy, mi yitin moise ani tachtecho. V'al rachamim ke'elu, einenu miyachloi sheyirachem Hashem alekeinu aleinu. You know why Reb Chaim went to the kever of Avshalom on Erev Yom Kippur? Because he was saying to Hashem, rachameinu k'rachem av abam, like this gemara that we just learned, b'ni, b'ni, 8 times, so that his rebellious son, he should be able to lift out of Gehenna, lift into Gan Eden, into Olam Haba, and that's where we are, mispal to Hashem, may it come to all of Klal Yisrael, rachameinu, k'rachem av albonim.